Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
First to Canada. The Supreme Court of Canada, the highest court in the land, their version of the High Court, has now issued a ruling that law societies can be denied licensing because they hold to traditional Christian views on sexuality. At issue was the application by Trinity Western University to start a law school. But halt right there. Could that law school register, be able to teach people who would be registered as lawyers in Canada? That was challenged on the basis that the law school itself and the university itself has a traditional mission and faith statement, a statement of belief that includes traditional teachings on sexuality, marriage between a man and a woman. Now, you may know, you may recall that this came up as one of the flags for Australians concerned about religious freedom in the debate over same-sex marriage here. Well, the CARDIS Foundation is a think tank in Canada, and they, like many others, have said this is appalling. They say the Supreme Court of Canada has consigned the fundamental right to freedom of conscience and religion to second-class status with its decision on Trinity Western University. Ray Pennings is a friend of this program and a co-founder of CARDIS. And hello, good morning to you, Ray.
Good morning, Stephen.
It's great having you back with us on what is probably you're probably as warm there on your Canadian summer morning as we are here in our Australian winter evening, I'd say.
Yes, well, we have the joys of summer heat, unfortunately, that's not quite accompanied by public policy that's equally sunny.
Was the Christian community surprised by the Supreme Court's ruling on Trinity Western University?
Yes and no. I think there was a worry within the community that there would be an acquiescence of the court to community standards rather than and where the culture is going rather than making a legal decision. If I think Trinity Western in 2001 had to go to the Supreme Court of Canada to have its teachers program. Similar challenge was made by the Teachers College. At that time, the Supreme Court issued a fairly strong ruling in Trinity Western's favor, indicating that Trinity Western was a school not necessarily for everyone, but certainly had the right to have a community covenant and Christian teachings for its own schools. So on the basis of law, there was a good deal of confidence. But since 2001, same-sex marriage has been introduced as in Canada, and there certainly is a cultural zeitgeist that is very strong. And so I suspect many Christians, while hopeful, were not totally surprised by the outcome.
Well, I'm struggling to understand the decision at law, because there's no, in fact, two of your provinces in Canada appealed, made application to the court saying that there's no barrier because of the beliefs of the school to the school itself being registered. And there's no barrier to Christian schools being registered on the basis of their beliefs. So how did the Supreme Court say, oh yeah, your school can be registered, but you can't teach law to people who go on to be lawyers? What did it hinge on?
Well, there are, The decision itself, even the majority has two minority reports with the majority, and there's a full minority of two dissenting judges. So it's a very legally confusing decision, and the analysis by the legal community has demonstrated that. The essence of the majority argument was there were two rights in our Constitution, equality rights under Section 15 and freedom of religion rights under Section 2A. All of the judges except the one found that both rights were being violated. So now we come to a second legal test that is here regarding the proportionality and the harm. Five of the judges argued on the basis of public interest, and by that they talked about the law profession as a whole needing confidence, and that if lawyers who came from schools that they were known to have had signed community covenants of this nature, it would bring disrepute to the legal profession and perhaps a lack of confidence that the legal profession was taking diversity seriously. It was interesting, they rooted it in a concept called the public interest, which is not a legal right. So they really downplayed the legal rights piece of it.
The public interest test is more of a common law test, and here's where it gets interesting, because, of course, your law, based on the common law, is very similar to ours.
It is, but I think what these judges meant by public interest was public opinion.
Well, that's not what common interest means.
I understand that. And when you read, and you can read 195 pages of sophistry to try to thread that needle. But I think was being a little more about being fashionable with the times.
Well, that's really interesting. Now, the two dissenting judges, they said that their view was based on the view that legislatively accommodated and charter-protected religious practices, once exercised, in other words, when you set up a school based on your religious rights, can't be cited by a state actor as a reason to justify the exclusion of a religious community from public recognition. But what they're saying there, Ray, begs the question, What now for other religious institutions or faith-based organizations in Canada?
Well, I think it's very alarming when you think of the consequences, stepping even beyond education. What Trinity Western Law School was asking for was a public benefit in terms of a licensing. They're not funded. They weren't asking for anything. And they were being told that the state, because of its charter obligations of equality, can't provide this public benefit through a license. Well, if that's the case, then, you know, is a hospital that is religiously funded or that is publicly funded, is it, you know, are we going to force violations of conscience of medical practitioners? Churches that have charitable status, the domino effect of the logic of this court is very, very wide-reaching for the Christian community. And I don't want to raise the alarm bells as if this is all going to happen tomorrow, but what we have done is we have changed the framework of our understanding of freedom of religion to basically mean you are free to worship as you want, yes, to believe what you want inside your own faith communities. But the minute you step into the public square, public secular values trump religious values 10 times out of 10.
Goodness. Well, I know CARTIS not to be an alarmist organisation, and Open House is not an alarmist program. People who listen understand that. Generally, we're pretty sanguine about the rule of law. But now you ask the question, well, what are people... Will there be a response? And the only response, I suppose, that could trump a Supreme Court decision would have to be legislation. Even that would have to ultimately be interpreted by the courts. So what have the politicians been saying, Ray?
Well, the traditional, the predictable divide on both sides of the questions from those. I think actually it's been a bit muted. Part of that is the timing was just before the summer recess, which happened last week, and there was a flurry of other activities. So it really hasn't gotten the deep political response yet. I also think because of the lack of clarity in the ruling, when you have the Chief Justice siding with the majority but writing a minority that takes on their reasons pretty significantly, a lot of people are saying, what's going on here? This is a pretty confusing sort of thing. What are the implications? My guess is that you are going to see other litigation, other issues that are around freedom of religion and testing this. But the bigger response needs to be a cultural response. I think in many ways, Christians in Canada, people of all faiths in Canada, have taken freedom of religion for granted.
Yes.
And it's important now not only to defend the space, but also occupy the space and be assertive in terms of the public dimensions of faith and what that actually means.
And all the time doing so in a winsome way, as you once said to us on this program.
Absolutely.
Ray, it's been marvellous chatting again. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Always a pleasure, Stephen.
God bless, mate. Bye-bye. Ray Pennings, he's the co-founder of CARTIS, a think tank in Canada concerned with faith and the public square. Could that be a foretaste of what's to come in Australia? I certainly hope not. That sounds like a crazy ruling.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.